Welcome to the shed. So, today in the shed, we have a very special guest who is no stranger to kindness, redefining the word gym into the name that I think is more fitting, the J7 Health Centre. Mm-hmm. Winning gym of the year, not once, but two times. Is that correct?
Three times.
I'm just making sure, though. And if you're no stranger to social media, just like everyone else at the minute, you would have seen him in his element, helping people with disabilities and people of all ages, the youth to the elderly, and helping them achieve their daily goals. Such an inspiring journey, and it's great to see kindness at the heart of such an amazing project. And alongside helping thousands of people over the past two decades, Jovino is also a professional trainer and a former professional in the world of cricket. There is definitely a lot more to share, so I want to get into the episode. Mm-hmm. And welcome to the shed.
Yes, man.
How are you?
I'm good, brother. Brilliant intro.
I told you we'd get it first time.
You did?
It might not be the first time I've done it today, though.
You've been practicing in the car.
A little bit. Always do.
If you guys ever see Ryan as well, check his car, check his motor.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
Pandora.
Yeah, Pandora's box. As soon as it's open.
Yeah, get Pandora, bloody. Get an Instagram page.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it verified.
So how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm happy. I'm loving the shed.
Yeah.
I'm loving the vibe. It's cozy.
Yeah, it's zen.
Yeah, it's zen. It's quite romantic, brother.
Yeah. It's yet to have its blossoming day. You know, you have to be careful with the feminine energy, what you bring in.
You have.
You know what I mean?
You have.
So I wanted to start, obviously, I've seen with what you're doing lately. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to start, I mean, what you're doing lately is amazing. It's great to see. It's great to see positivity on social media. Yeah. Because negativity can spread just as much. But now I'm seeing so much on TikTok of good stuff. And I think it's amazing what you do. But where did you realise you had this gift of kindness? When was your first sort of kindness moment?
A long time ago, man. I love talking about this journey because the story is just a powerful story, and sometimes I go around the houses, but I just think it's come from my upbringing. Like, my mum, shout out Jackie, and my dad, and my family, and my brothers, and my cousins, we've just been raised with kindness, man. And I think when people say about your product of your environment, my family are the kindest people, the kindest people, the most generous, giving people. And I think growing up, we had no option but to take them traits. So that's my personal opinion on kindness for me. And I just brought that into my work, as simple as that. And yeah, man, I realised I was gifted, Ryan. And I don't mean that in a big-headed way. And I say it all the time. I just believe that gift is like Michael Jordan, gifted basketball.
Yeah.
Close his eyes and he's banging a three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hear stories of Georgie Best turning up to Old Trafford.
Half cut.
Off his head, steaming. Yeah. But he will perform because that's his gift. And I believe that my gift is I can inspire anybody into, when it comes to exercise and health, I can make you fall in love with this. It's not difficult for me.
Yeah.
I've never met a person who I can't find something that you will enjoy, show it you, and make you want to come back. And I believe that's my gift. And I've got a weird thing about, what's the word that people say? Usually I've got to say, Jovino, you got no empathy.
Phobia.
No, I've got no empathy.
All right.
Yeah. I've got no empathy. But so when, over the years, I've had people come to me, man, with horrible situations, right? Like, without getting into too much detail, suicidal thoughts, personal problems, like really bad things that they're personally going through. And I don't feel any way. My only response is, I've got you.
Yeah.
Give me 30 minutes. Give me 30 minutes. I bet you I can change the way you feel. No. I'm feeling like this. I said, give me 30 minutes and I guarantee I can change your opinion. And I've always been like that. Over the years, I've had, luckily, and people have overcome. I've had people come to me with not in the best frame of mind or the place in life, and I've never felt sorry for him, because I've always thought, you know what, it's fixable.
Yeah.
Whatever you just told me, let's fix that. Can we swear? Let's fix that shit.
Yeah.
And I believe, again, that is my gift, because I could be the other person that kind of hears people's problems, pure empathy and feel sorry for them, but nothing gets done. Where with me, no matter what you tell me you're going through, I got you. Let's do this together and let's find it out. Let's work it out.
Yeah, and that's what I think so great about the J7 Health Centre. It's like, you know, therapy is one side. If you go to a therapist, you know, the talking side, yes, that is good, but I think work on the body to work on the mind is the quickest way. And your explanation of that, give me 30 minutes, where you know after a 30-minute run or after a 30-minute workout, you're going to feel better. Yeah. Like, I wake up most days and I don't feel down, or I don't feel... I think I've always struggled with waking up feeling great.
Yeah.
I feel more agitated a lot of the time before I've done my routine in the morning.
Yeah.
And once I've done that, then I feel I'm accomplished and I've done what I needed to do. And before I used to work out, it's like I didn't know that that's what I needed to do in the morning. You need to, you know, appreciate yourself and go for a run and do that. And after that, it's like today, I've been privileged for the last month running around Spain. It's easy.
Lucky get.
I brought the tan back. But today, I'm like, you know, you're coming today. I want to be in the best shape of mind. So I went for a run. And it's like light rain, a little bit of light rain. Then when I'm running, it's like I can't even see. And I was like, I just keep going, you know. But my point after all of that is, you know, I think it's great that you're bringing in people that obviously have more difficulties than most that go to the gym. And then, you know, not having the empathy to say, let's sit down, have a chat, let's get on with it, let's do it. I think it's a perfect way to do it.
And you know what, Ray? Let's be real, man. Normality, bro. Normality, that's all people want. And I didn't start out this journey purposely for disabled people, elderly people, cancer patients. It's something that kind of chose me. This was not something that let me explain what I mean. So I've been training disabled people, people that need hope, man. There's people out there that are losing hope. Elderly people, cancer patients, stroke survivors. I've been training them free for 22 years. I've never charged a penny. And the way it kind of started for me was, if the most powerful thing you can do for somebody, most inspiring thing you can do for somebody, is look them in the face, listen, and take them in as a human. Human interaction. Nowadays, I don't know what's going on. Me and you were talking in the car about the kids that we were talking about before.
Yeah.
You guys can't listen. You can't, don't. That's not none of your business. But people have lost that human interaction, the ability to just listen and actually take in what I'm saying, you taking what I'm saying, and work something out. And there's too much false pretense, if that's the right word. And I remember when I was younger, this is 22 years ago, and I've told this story many, many times. And it started for me when I was watching a young boy get trained. He was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
This boy was a strapping, young, good-looking kid. The wheelchair, he didn't need to be in it all the time. And I'm watching the trainer training. The boy, he was getting patronised. The way he was talking to him was like a baby.
Yeah.
I sat back watching. It was a session that I was... it was my session, but I had a staff doing it. This is when I worked for Manchester Council. And I'm watching this session thinking, you've got more in your tank. You've got more inside of you and you ain't really letting it out. The trainer went to the toilet. So I went over to this boy and I said, for 40 minutes, 30 minutes, I've watched you do jack shit. And I know you've got more in you. I know you can lift more than what he's letting you lift. I said, don't ever let another man dilute your power just because you're in a wheelchair. Assume that you can't do that. Assume that you... I said, you can do some shit and you know you can. So when the trainer came in, I told him to F off, basically. I said, I'm going to do the rest of this session. So the rest of the session, where I made him stand up because I knew he could.
Yeah.
I knew he could. He stood up. And then I made him lift a little bit. I'm not a bully. I'm not going to be silly and make him lift silly weights. But he was lifting the 1 kgs. I know he could lift the 3s. I've seen him.
Yeah.
I made him lift them. And I made him work his ass off for 15 minutes. And at the end of the session, his parents came over to me and it was just 20 minutes of crying. They were so emotional. And they said to me, the only thing a parent would ever want is for people to treat their children normal and I was the first person to do it. He was a teenager. Yeah. I didn't see his disability. I just seen a stroppy teenager who could do more, and I wasn't afraid to tell him.
You saw
that.
The personality.
I seen the person. I didn't see the disability.
Yeah.
And since that day, I've always said, your disability, no offense, no disrespect to anybody. I don't give a shit. I care about the person.
Mm.
I don't care about the wheelchair. I care
about
the person.
See through
of course it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we've got shit to do, Ryan.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And since then, it's just blossomed into what it is now. And I'm very blessed that they've chosen me, man. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Because this is serious shit. Like, sometimes I rant because I have to get it all out right. But this is not no joke. This is not no gimmick to me. This is people saying, here's
no, it's your life and their life.
My life.
Yeah, 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 for
people
sure.
People are saying, yo, here's my life, Jay. Can you help me? Can you fix it?
Yeah.
So if they're giving me that gift, you best believe that I'm going to take it so serious, and I'm going to do more than a good job on it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing. And I think as well, the way, you know, with empathy, or you're not no bully, like, you, I've watched your videos, and the way you kind of handle someone, it's like, it's very firm, but in no way, shape or form is it like anything that would hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to be firm and strong with it, mm-hmm. to push them at the same time, but it's like the perfect balance. So I think to say, you know, you are gifted in that sense is the way you can work with people.
Yeah.
And you definitely do have some empathy there.
Yeah, definitely. But you know
but
what?
I know how you mean it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, empathy, like I said, there's times to be, have it, and there's times not to have it. And the key to a lot of my stuff that people see is, I need to know your story. You need to know my story.
Yeah.
Because look at this now, Ryan. I'll use you as an example. If you lived in Manchester, me and you became friends, super proper friends. And I knew your story. I knew about your mum in Spain. I knew about your dog, your cat, your garden, your house, your car. And that me and you became your friend. You're fucked.
Mm.
Because you ain't got no choice now, because I ain't going nowhere. Because if you're my friend and I care for you, I'm going to get you in shape whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to argue with you. I'm willing to put it all on the line, because if I'm your friend and I know that you feel, not that you do, insecure, you feel certain ways about yourself or this or that, you've expressed to me that you want to feel better, you want to look better, you want to smile more, you want to live life and enjoy, and I know I can do that, you fuck, because I'm going to do it whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So my clients that come through, I know all of their stories, man. So these are not just clients. I know their families. I know their personal problems. I know when they've had a bad day. I know the people in families that have died. I know everything about them. So once we've got that connection, you ain't got no choice now. And I don't mean that in a bully, patronizing way, because if I love you and I got love for you, I have to get you in shape. I won't be doing our friendship justice if I don't get you to where we need to be. Because I know how much it means for your family, and I know how much it means to you. Because we've had them convos.
Yeah.
So when people see the videos, them videos are just the end product of...
Yeah, they're a snippet of... Obviously, of course, they're a snippet of just a small part. But what they do is express... anyone can see there's so much work behind that as well. But they express that as well, because even that moment looks difficult for you and the other person in that way. But you know, have you... with your friends and people you know... I suppose in the way you're explaining that as well, it's like you have an end goal.
Mm.
Like, the end goal is, I want to be, you know, mentally strong. I want to be healthy. I want to be fit. Whatever it is, you want a six pack, whatever it is. There is always this journey of where you forget the goal sometimes, you know, and I feel, you know, is that where you step in? You feel you're at your element where you can keep the same sort of mind to remind them of that goal. We can get there.
Well, yeah, goals are important, but tell you what it's more about for me, it's more about getting people out of holes, man.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, I ain't afraid to talk about disabled, and this is the thing with disability and elderly people, cancer patients, all these people that are training, amazing people. People are afraid to have these conversations that they assume is awkward. I don't class them as awkward. So disabled people go through, depending on the severity of the disability, they go through challenges every day, man, that people won't even understand. They go through so many difficulties every day that people don't even understand. I've been blessed to obviously hear their side of it, and I understand them difficulties. So it's deeper than exercise. And then when it comes to goals, the goals to me are never, the simple goals get stronger, get a bit more flexible, get more about them ones to me are meaningless. Mm. The goals that mean the most to me are, can I keep you smiling for a long time?
Yeah, happiness.
Can I keep you happy for a long time? Can I keep you, can I get you into a state of mind that if you do feel suicidal, depressed, anxiety, and when you used to feel them things, you shut yourself away from the world. Can you now go, you know what, I'm good? Because Jay's taught me I can do, Jay's empowered me and filled me and pumped me with that much self-confidence and self-esteem. Whatever this world throws at me, I fucking got this shit.
Yeah.
That's it. So them kind of goals to me, they're immeasurable. They will keep on going. So the goals are strength and the other thing's cool. But the other goals for me are the life-changing ones, man. Mm.
To build them mentally, yeah, it sounds
course,
like. Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
Because the body can do it. They can do, you know, miraculous things. You know, you can jump from building to building if you want, but it's usually the mind that tells you not to. Yeah. Is fear something that you've accomplished that you feel like, you know, you still get nervous in certain things, or is fear very...
I love fear. I love fear, man. I do.
You use that
energy. I used to, as I've gotten older. I'm not old. I'm not as young as you said it before.
You're not that much older than me, though.
Stop it. But fear is something that I used to... My opinion of fear and strength as I've grown older has changed, man. I used to think strength was one thing, and I realise now it's not, man. Even as young men, you always think strength is muscle and how much you can lift in this and that. After working with these people for so many years, my guy, strength, they show me the different meaning of strength. That is one day I hope that I can have that kind. I'm going to tell you a story about Margaret, RIP Margaret. This lady, man, and Auntie Veronica as well, RIP Auntie Veronica. So Auntie Veronica is one of my older ladies. She died of cancer two years ago. Came on very, very quick.
Mm.
But Ryan, this woman was the life and soul of the party. Beautiful Irish lady, always dancing. I used to post videos and people were like, who's her? Always twerking. And yeah. You know, anytime you put on an Irish song, tell me, Ma, when I come home, the boys will leave. She's getting a jig on.
Yeah.
She came into my office. My class, I remember it like it was yesterday, Ryan. My class started at 12 o'clock. She came into my office at 11:57 because I was just about to go. And she went, I got something to say, Jay. Listen. She said it exactly like that. She's very straight to the point. I've got cancer. I don't know how long I've got left. Don't tell nobody. It's between me and you. I just want to live my life and have fun. Mm. Do not tell anybody. And I just started crying my eyes out because she just basically told me that there's a countdown to, you know what I mean? And then she's just wiped her eyes, gone outside and not told anybody. The class started at 12 o'clock, at 12:15, I looked at the clock. And Auntie Veronica's dancing the life and soul of the party. And inside I'm going, how the fuck are you doing this? You just told me that you're dying.
Mm.
And inside I'm breaking down, you know. And she's just dancing, singing, laughing at. And a couple months later, she passed.
Mm.
But that kind of strength has made me look at what I used to think strength, you know what I mean? Things like that. And I've had quite a few of them over the years. And this is where people always say that I kind of big me up all the time on social media. Javino, you do this and that. It's all very humbling. But the people that I train, man, they're more amazing than me. They taught me so many things. They taught me things about myself they taught me lessons that I didn't know that I needed teaching.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And things like that. And just like with fear as well. I used to be scared of failing. I used to be, as an athlete, I was scared of losing. I was scared of so many things. But now as a 38-year-old dad of two, married, good business, and I've...
Not that much older than me.
It's maybe something that I welcome because I think it brings the best out in people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I don't get too nervous before these, before I get more excitement. I think it's understanding what fear is. Mm. You know, it's. I heard a philosopher say that fear and joy is the same emotion. Mm. It's just how you harness it or how you use it.
Yeah.
And I think that is key in everything you do, because you know what comes after fear. And if it isn't obviously something that you should be scared of, maybe you're in a situation where something bad is going to happen or whatever. Mm. But if it's something, you can turn anything into a kind of positive fear. But if it's something like going on stage fear, you know, after that, whatever you have to do on stage or after this pod, you're going to feel amazing.
Yeah.
That, and that, it's breaking through that. And some people just, I find, can stay in that comfortability before they know that.
Yeah.
You know? So
I watched,
yeah.
I'm a big sports fan, man. And when it comes to fear, fear's made me into a beast.
Yeah.
Physically in the way I train myself, but the way I attack my work, because with this shit, right, and I wear it on my sleeve, man. This is not something that I can turn on and off. You've probably seen a bit of a change in me from the car to here, because when I'm talking about this shit,
yeah.
I pour it out. I thought
Pandora just had that effect on you.
I just pour it out. But then my fear, I remember I watched something with Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan said, somebody must have asked him, what do you feel about missing a free throw or a free pointer? And he said, I don't think about missing a shot that I've not taken. And it always kind of, I always remember that saying, but with me, it's not exactly the same, but my fear is that if I come across somebody who's chosen me to train him or bring him some joy, my fear is that I don't do the right job and you don't come back, or I don't do the right job and you don't enjoy exercise. So this is why I don't have no bad day.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't, no matter what I'm going through, when it comes to this work, I wear this passion that I've got in me. I let it out of every hole. Take that out you want. I let it out of every single hole, because
yeah.
I can't have a bad session. Because if I have a bad session, there's a slight possibility that person might go, I don't want to exercise anymore. And that can't happen for me. So this is why every single session, I put everything that I've got in my body, every single cell of me, I put it into that session to make sure that person has the fucking best experience of exercise, joy, happiness, and just being around people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people have been scared, especially disabled people and people that are going through it. They've had such bad experiences with people that they don't want to really exercise or want to be around people. They don't want, and before you know it, they're not really social.
Yeah.
Because of one or two bad experiences.
They can stay indoors and yeah.
And all it takes is one amazing experience to make them, you know what, kick down that door and just fucking attack life.
Yeah, look at the world differently.
Look at the world differently.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. How did the J7 Health Centre come around?
The amazing story with that. You're a bit of a hippie, so you'd like...
Just a little bit.
A little bit. J7, legally.
Yeah.
It's been company's house, if you're watching, legal for...
I hope they're not watching me either.
For 5 years, it's been legal. It's been a lie for 14 years. I've written it down on a piece of paper in my mum's kitchen 14 years ago of a vision of a place that I wanted to create that was on one floor. And I told a few people and people didn't really get it, because I said, I don't need two or three floors, because I'm a believer of energy and vibe. And if I'm downstairs and Ryan's upstairs, I can't see you. I can't say, yo, Ryan, bro, you okay? How's your mom? We can't vibe. There's no energy.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're on one floor, Ryan, the energy will circulate like like a tornado.
Very important.
And then that energy and that vibe will filter through the whole room. So J7, exactly how it is now, it was written on a piece of paper in my mum's kitchen, I think it's 14 years ago, just one floor, half of it was a gym, half of it was a studio, more or less exactly how it is today. And it was, I think it was a year after my first son was born, I said, I need to make this reality now. I said, I was in a very good paid job at the council, and it wasn't my vision. And I said to myself, I can't let nothing dilute my passion. Life's about, like, for this to work, I've got too much passion that needs to be seen by the world and by people. and I couldn't really do that working for the council. So I made the leap, and after Mason was born, I think a year later, I opened J7 and I took that risk. It was the greatest thing that I've ever done.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, amazing. It is amazing. To have a base and then just to grow like you have is key. And then I think when you do find your passion, like you have from that time, synchronicity just works.
Yeah.
Things just start coming at you. You know, the universe just comes for you. Mm. Even when you're not in your synchronicity of your passion, the universe will make you do things over and over again until you go the other way to learn.
The universe will test you. Mm. One thing that I'm very proud of, Ryan, is that I've stuck to my guns so much, man. I've not budged on my character or my personality. And within a day and age now where there's so many people do things for clout, they do things for money,
yeah,
and change who they are as a person. And apart from a beard, me 15 years ago is exactly how I am today.
Yeah.
And mate, you'll never see me being that trait. I hate them trainers. I put a post out the other day. I said, what are you trying to sell? Sex? All these trainers out here trying to sell sex.
Yeah.
Girls with the booties out or breast out, guys with the six packs and baby oil. Pure man nipples. Pure man nipples. You go on your timeline, you see man nipples. All you see is man nipples. Thinking, what the hell are you guys trying to
sell? There's got to be a soundbite right
there. Yeah, man nipples. Somebody make one. Like what are you trying to sell?
Yeah.
And 10 years ago, I could have had a million followers if I just took off my top, did the sexy thing, oiled up and tried to, you ain't never going to see me with my top off.
No.
Trying to flex my muscle. I ain't trying to sell success. I ain't trying to sell sex, sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to sell real inspiration and real magic through the screen that people can touch and feel and take it into their households and their families and become better people and actually pass that on to other people.
Yeah.
That's how you create a real legacy, not by selling sex.
No.
And 5-10, I'm so happy. So many people, Jay, start selling this, start doing this, start wearing this. I said, are you mad? Javino doesn't sell sex. I'm not that trainer. I am not that trainer. In the gym, I'm a beast. I'm a monster when it comes to my personal training. When it comes to my work, I ain't trying to sell the meathead thing. The steroids, yeah. I ain't trying to sell that. Yeah. It may look like that when I'm training myself, but that's just my personal thing.
Mm.
And people used to, I remember I had so many conversations with people, right? And then people were like, yeah, but you could be making this much money. You could be doing this. And I said, nope. I'd rather be true to myself, true to my journey, true to my mission of what I want to do. And I said to people, eventually, when the world clock on to what I'm doing, you can't help but applaud that shit.
Mm.
You can't help because it's coming from the purest fucking place. It's coming from the most realest place. And it's the most organic, heartwarming stuff. And it's real. And the fact is, mate, when you see my work, you're not just going to hear my voice. You're going to feel my soul. You're going to feel my heart, my presence, because I don't hide nothing. I don't hide nothing. I want to show you everything. I'm completely naked. Not literally, but I'm completely.
Yeah.
I'm completely naked.
Not like the other one.
Yeah. I'm not trying. I ain't got no mandibles out. Yeah. But I'm not trying to. I don't care about what I look like or sound like. That's why you see me with my sliders on. Half the time I got no socks on.
Yeah.
Barefoot, dry toes, dry knees. I don't give a damn about what I look like because I know the people that I'm training are that amazing. I want to expose that to the world because I guarantee when people see that, there's going to be somebody out there with cancer, stroke, a disability that's going to go, you know what? That's all I needed today to do better. That's all I needed today to try and do something better tomorrow. That's all I needed today to try and, you know what, let me get out of bed today.
Yeah, yeah.
The small things that people don't see. Mm. And I'm so glad that I stuck to my guns. And even though things are going crazy now, it's happened because I've been real to myself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think, as you said, like, you know, there is this commercialized way you should look and it's pushed through. That's why, like, we've gone in more to a video sense of viewing things because people see things more clearly rather than an Instagram picture sense where everything can be filtered, changed and manufactured. Mm. And I think the truth will always come out in whatever you do. Mm. And you've stuck to your guns and the truth is coming out. And this is an area that needs to be, you know, everywhere. In every gym, there should be doing stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it always backfires with the people that are sent on the lie anyway. Like Liver King, mm-hmm. you know, a guy that's looks ridiculous eating liver, and then he's on £10,000 a month steroids.
He's
so
a Muppet. You're trying
to sell this to people, and then other people are being deluded in that scene. And you know, it's a package. These people always come with a product, though.
Yeah.
You know, for you to say I've done this for 21 years, you were saying
22 years,
and never taken any money from anyone in that mm-hmm. sense. And it's like that's pure. That's why it travels mm-hmm. organically. That's why people listen to it. And you know, it's the people that are lying. It always comes out. It always comes out because there's always a product behind it as well. We're selling this or we're selling that, you know.
And the thing is, there's people out there that have got the power to be that change.
Yeah.
There's certain things in this world, man, that are so... They catch fire and people cop this. What's the word I'm looking for? There's certain things in this world that are just so addictive.
Mm.
Being real is one of them. Being genuine, being pure... and just being yourself is the most addictive thing. And that's how you make people happy. And that's how you make communities, cities, countries, and it sounds corny, the world happy, because it spells like wildfire. If me and you have a great convo and we bond and you actually enjoy my shit and I enjoy your shit,
yeah,
I'm going to sell that onto somebody else. Not a product. I'm selling happiness. I'm selling care and love and compassion. That person passes it on and it spells like wildfire. And these people in my industry, man, I can't stand the fitness industry. There's certain parts of the industry that I can't stand, like the Liver King.
Mm.
I can't stand these people that are just trying to sell. It's so hard being a young boy or a young woman, a young girl in this day and age, because they're watching robots mm-hmm. and fake mannequins, and young girls are looking at that shit going, I want to be like that. It's so unfair.
Yeah.
And I know that like, recently a lot of people have been, I've seen a lot of women saying, it's so hard for young girls. And I get that. But young boys have got it hard too, because they're watching idiots like the Liver King, who are on £10,000 worth of steroids a month,
yeah.
claiming that he's natural. And they're saying, I want to look like that. I want to be like that.
Mm.
Not knowing that he's a drug taking.
And now he's flipping it the other side as well.
Yeah. There's always a gimmick or catch.
Yeah.
Thinking it's so
hard. Walked up to a restaurant receptionist, was like, hi, I'm on steroids. Just being transparent with everyone.
It's
like even they sell the other side and it's like...
There's always the fact is though, when you're selling bullshit, fake shit, people will see through it.
Yeah. And he'll lose a lot for that.
Of course it will, man. You know and the fact is, the stuff that I'm...
Trust.
And I see people doing in their industries in different things. If you're just putting out real shit that's from the heart, it will never get lame. It will never get gimmicky. And it will always be relevant and powerful because the story never changes.
Mm.
Where like the Liver King and other people that have been caught out, once your story starts to change, people look at you different and just realise that you're a liar and that you're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. And that's one thing that I'm happy with, and that my story never changes and I'm hoping it never does, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Me too. I hope you continue.
Thank you.
For me, like this shed, I told you before in the car, in Pandora.
Pandora.
But I used to make clothes for it, and I felt it was the stepping stone to this, but it wasn't what I was meant to be doing. There was a lot of friction with it. And I find when you're doing something you're not quite meant to be doing, there will be friction, and not in a good way. It's not like a challenge. It was like this problem, that problem, this problem. And I didn't ever feel true to myself. I used to drink a lot more. I used to do things like that now. And I used to do festivals all through the summer and everything else. And I wasn't the best person I felt I could be for myself.
Mm.
Now I find I'm in this realm. I don't really want to drink anymore. Mm. I want to get good sleep. I want to work out. I want to be the best of my ability. So like you say, when I meet you or... You spread that to other people and you have to be in that best place for yourself so that other people work with that as well. And then then you create a great circle around
you. Of course, man.
So going back a little bit, was cricket a really big part in your life? Was that one of your first loves of sport?
Cricket was my first love. It wasn't my true love.
Okay.
Cricket was all I ever wanted to do. I was obsessed, man. I was 8 years old doing 100 press-ups a day.
Yeah. I can't even do 30.
8 years old doing 100. Yeah, man, it was cricket. Was all I ever wanted to do. It was my first love. And what I mean by that, I was obsessed with it. Like, I never had a day off. Like, I was a fast bowler. I was just a monster. it got to the point where I was in India. I got an opportunity to go out to India, so I was in India, and the conditioner got injured. I think he'd done his knee and had to go back to South Africa. So they said to me, Jay, you're the fittest one on the team. Do you want to take over the conditioning of the boys? And on my team, I have some of the most fantastic cricketers on the planet, man. I'm not sure if you're a cricket fan, but I don't know what to name him. But I had some of the big dogs in the industry on my team. And it didn't faze me.
Yeah.
So for 7 weeks, I trained the boys. I got more enjoyment about what I could do with other people than myself.
Mm-mm.
I was always a great athlete, and I got enjoyment, more enjoyment, what I could do with other people. And one thing that stood out to me was there was a guy on the team. He's legendary in cricket, man. In global cricket, not just Indian cricket. And I'm not going to name him. I'll tell you after the cameras are off.
Yeah, yeah.
People are scared of him. Every time he comes in, people don't want to talk to him. They don't want to do nothing with him. I'm going to tell you something now, Ryan. If I'm doing a session and you're late, even my wife, me and her argue every week about this. If you come in late, you're doing burpees.
Yeah.
You're not going to disrespect the session or me or your health in general or other people that have got more commitment than you and turn up late. So he turned up late. So I said, all right, then drop down, do 20 burpees. Everyone kind of looked. So I said, what? You think he's any different to any of us?
Love that.
You think because he's some big superstar cricketer, yeah, he's any different to me, you? I said, get your ass down and do them burpees. Went over there, took his bag off him. I said, we ain't doing shit until you do them burpees. And he didn't.
Yeah.
And at the end of the session, he used an example in the team talk, saying no one's ever really approached him like that before. And that's what we should all be doing. Just because he is who he is, doesn't mean that he's better than anybody else. He's still a man. He's still an athlete. He's on par with everybody else. He's just achieved more. But there was no fear in me. There was not a lot of people in that circumstance would have been like, oh no, it's so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, no, get your ass down. You're doing them burpees. And I just, yeah, that was a turning point for me in India, where, but even before India, I was training people. But in India is when I kind of thought to myself, I got more enjoyment being the coach rather than the athlete.
Yeah. How long was you there for?
India for 7 months. I was in Bangalore, South India for 7 months. Hot as hell.
Yeah, I was just going to say hot.
Hot. Hot. No, it was too hot. It was hot. I was like a dog most days. I was,
it is hot.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, man, and what cricket, the lessons that I learned on the cricket field is the lessons that kind of the foundational bricks of who I am today, man. The dedication, the hard work, the grit, the unbreakability. I owe a lot to cricket. And that's why I say it was my first love. But it opened a door to find my true love, which was training other people rather than myself. I find it easy for me to get in shape. I find it easy. I can push myself to limits that are scary. That to me is not impressive. That's where when you get these people that look like bloody Greek gods, can you make other people feel and look that way? Even though to me it's not all about the aesthetic. Can you, whatever skill you claim you've got, can you pass that on?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Can you pass that on for other people? And that's where I thought my true love was, that I have ability to, I can connect with people. I can look deep into people's souls, kind of work out what they want and find a mutual ground that we can kind of joust it out and we can do something together. And it has to be a teamwork though. It's not just Trevino saying, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
If Trevino saying, you need to do this for me, there needs to be a level of respect from the other person to say, I respect him that much. I am going to do it. And that's where I believe that my gift is, where I can find that with people, where we both come to something together and we build that shit in the most monumental way together. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And is it also, I know you work with disabilities and elderly as well, but you're also doing a lot of work with the youth of today as well. Man. You know, I'm still going to go back to the age. We're not too far apart. And we had the lucky side of, you grew up without it and now we're with it technology-wise. Yeah. You know, I think I've spoken to teachers and they're like, their concentration is so much different to what it used to be. And then they're also dealing with things with like WhatsApp groups over the weekend.
Yeah.
So Monday teachers have to deal with drama. This bully, this thing, that happens, mate, that's happened. So how do you find your work with that?
It's crazy that you said that. I was literally about to say the same thing. Took the words out of my mouth. It's hard. These kids have got it harder than we had, man. I remember when, long time, when I was in school, if there was, say, a bullying issue on Friday, you're not going to see that person until Monday.
Mm.
Nowadays, it happens in school and it's like it's viral by 3-4 o'clock. It's hard for young boys, man, because they're seeing things that are fake. That they're seeing things online that they think that they want to be like, or goals that they think they can reach, not knowing that it's a setup. Young girls are seeing these women on TikTok and Instagram that look a certain way that it's not achievable, it's fake. Mm. So it's hard for the youth. And what I always realize is you're not supposed to listen to your mum and dad, man. I think, as you, I know I never did. Yeah, sorry, mum, if you're listening, she probably is. But, it's good to have a middleman, and I'm blessed, man, that they've chose me. It's not something, when you see these videos with me with the kids, I've got schools that do come in now, but originally when they started and people were seeing me with a group of kids,
yeah,
they didn't have to be there. They were just there. They came to me. They'd come to the gym, and then before you know it, they're all around me asking me for advice. They've chosen me as their big brother. They've chosen me as that role model, that uncle figure.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I realised that they've blessed me with that kind of role, I took it serious, man. And every time they came in, when they're all together, I'm going to give you some wisdom. And the fact is, I've got a voice that they seem to listen to. Again, I'm very lucky and blessed that they do listen to my voice. And I think it's about just redefining certain things with the youth. Like the youngsters, the young boys, their definition of masculinity, their definition of success. It's so wrong, man.
Mm.
It's the same with the girls as well. It's so wrong. You might have seen videos where I'm talking to the guys about.
I did see one that was great.
What is masculinity?
Yeah.
What they think a man is not what we would class a man as. A man's person who's not afraid to express themselves, a person who's not afraid to defend themselves, a person that's. There's so many strands to being a man. And their definition of masculinity seems to be all quite aggressive and violent and not allowed to cry and you've got to do this and do that, not realising, no. And sometimes when you hit them with real examples, that's what I try my best to do, man. I remember one of the things I asked them was about crying. Are men supposed to cry? No, man's not supposed to cry. So I said, what do you lot think of me? And they went, yeah, you're a man, you're this and that. Look how strong you are. You deadlift this, you do that. And so I said, bro, when my auntie died, I cried like a baby. My auntie died 3 years ago on this day. On this day, I only noticed on the train. Remembered on the train. Because I'm really bad with dates, and I seen it on my wife's thing. But she died 3 years ago today. When she died, me and my brothers, we cried like babies. That's the matriarch of our family, the queen. Cried like a baby. So I said, am I not a man? And they went, yeah. So I said, men are allowed to cry. Men are allowed to express themselves. And this straight, literally, you know when you see movies and you see it switch?
Mm-hmm.
I have them moments with the youngsters and I go, fuck God.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've physically seen them go, yeah, I get it. If Jay's cried, maybe it's not so bad to cry. And I did one about, I've had loads of talks with her about respect for women. And again, I have the moments where you actually see it, right? And you see the little numpties and you see him thinking and you see it yeah, twigging. Yeah. You see him go, oh, yeah, you're right. I had to talk about respect for women where these combos are not ones that I plan. So one of the teachers, good friend of mine called Belinda, she, one of the local schools, she'll just ring me like 10 minutes before and say, today we've had this issue. And I remember it was about respect for women. I don't know whether it's the rap songs and all that drill shit.
Mm.
All that drill, shank, stab, all that shit.
Yeah.
That they just feel like they can call women bitches and hoes and slags and like that. And they were just being really bad to these girls in school. And I pulled them all and I went right up to them and I said, what if I called your mum a bitch or a slag or all these words that you hear in these rap songs? would you be happy? No, I want to knock you out. So I said, exactly. So I said, before you call somebody a bitch or a slag, or you'd be really degrading to a woman, think about how you'd feel if somebody did that to your mum. What if I came up to your mum and said that in her face? And you seen it, literally, it was the greatest moment. I can't explain it. You see him go.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you go, you know what, I've caught him. And sometimes being that older brother figure, that uncle figure, it allows me to be in a position where they're listening, where sometimes mums and dads don't get that ear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I think it's a very privileged position to be in.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. No, it's great you're doing that. And it is a great way to explain something. If you take the example of what they're doing that is wrong, give them the example of what, you know, it that would hurt them personally.
Mm.
And then they can see it through their eyes of, okay, this isn't quite right. Because what they're seeing is a music video of a guy that's got loads of money that's allowed to do this for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but is he going to do that in his world? Probably not either.
Yeah.
So, and why that's pushing media, you know, is beyond me, but it's the way things go, you know. And I think I did see a video, there was like four lads, I think it was, and you was asking them, it wasn't about masculinity, it was
you like about yourself.
Yeah. That was really, really fucking good, man. Yeah.
That there is a really important one for me. That's something that it gets me quite emotional when I do that one. I never lie to these kids. Like any example, even the one of calling people bitches and slags and all the stuff that they were calling to these. I said, I did the same in school. You hear rap songs and in banter. Yeah, oh, shut up, you bitch. It's banter or you can't. Like, it's like, I've done it.
Take it like a movie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
100%. I've done it. But that one there, man, was heartbreaking for me because, and that one there stemmed from the work with the disabled people that I've done over the years where this society, this world at the moment, man, it can be a horrible place and it can be so suffocating where humans have lost the ability to care for themselves and love themselves and certain things become awkward. So when you say to somebody, tell me two things that you like about yourself, they can't do it.
Yeah, that's
and
what
you go,
thought,
how? Man. How can you not tell me two things? Is it weird? Does it feel corny? Or do you generally not? And a lot of them generally can't tell me two. I said, yo, if you change the perception of how you see yourself, and you actually are not afraid to embrace yourself and like yourself and give yourself a pat on the back and say, do you know what? I like my hair.
Yeah. They should struggle to pick.
Yo, it was so bad.
Yeah.
But when you get comfortable doing that and your opinion of yourself changes and you put your opinion of yourself on a pedestal, the way you look at life becomes totally different.
Yeah, 100%.
And I force them, tell me two things that you like about yourself. I ain't going nowhere until you tell me what you like about yourself. And then once you open that door, some amazing things. I like my hair. I like that I look after my sister. I like that I'm caring. I like this. And you hear him talk and you go, fucking thank God.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Again, this is something that, again, I feel like I'm blessed with where I've worked out these strategies organically that are not in your textbooks, but they work so much, man. And these are convos that a lot of these youngsters don't have. And that one there, to me, man, is heartbreaking. When sometimes I see these young kids and some of them are so talented, some of them are so, I've got amazing personalities. When you say to them, tell me two things and they can't tell me, I say to them, man, you need to work that out today. Because I can think of 10 amazing things that I like about you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me one. I said, that's a problem.
Yeah. Mm. No, it's good. And I don't think I've ever been asked that.
Tell me two things you like about yourself, Ryan.
I could tell you loads. I mean, I like my charm. I like my looks. Mm-hmm. I like my personality.
You are pretty fit.
Cheers.
Follow him on Instagram and TikTok.
But I also like to work on things that aren't as good about myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's good to see, okay, I'm not doing so well in that avenue. I'm not doing so well in this avenue. And I think it's bad to guilt yourself if you let yourself down or something like that. I think as long as the next day you pick yourself up and you do exactly what you wanted to do, and you do that hard workout or you do something, then that's where it's important. If it's, You know,
do you think that comes with age though? Because
yeah, and experience.
So right now, so me asking you now, two things you like about yourself.
Yeah.
32, you're a different stage in life. That's something that you wasn't afraid to answer.
Yeah.
If I would have asked you that at maybe 12, 13, do you think you would have said the same?
Not
answer?
A fucking clue.
But imagine somebody, we asked mm-hmm. somebody like that at Ryan. Even at 12, I'm not sure if I would have said certain things.
No, it's true. It takes a long time to know yourself. For sure.
And again, I'm not naive and I'm not unrealistic. No. And I think...
But that's why it's so important you're asking it now.
Because imagine our life, even, obviously I'm not saying our lives are bad, but I'm thinking all it takes is that one conversation with these youngsters to open up a totally different train of thought that could change their lives.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking right now, there's somebody out there, 32, 34, 35, whatever, who's never been asked that question. And maybe if they would have been asked that question, it could have made them have a different idea of what they want to do with their lives. You never know.
Yeah, I definitely was never asked that by a teacher or anything like that. It's the personal approach that's so good with you.
Well, thank you.
You know? Because at schools, teachers, they have to deal with a lot as well. They've got 30 kids or whatever. It's the lessons, the teaching of that specific subject.
Mm.
And I think that teaching that specific subject might take it away from what the kid, you could talk to the kid about in that certain sense. Mm. So to have what you said, not the brother, not the mother, not the father, you know, someone that is a mentor.
Yeah.
I think everyone, if they're lucky enough, find a mentor or someone else, you know, that is outside of their circle a little bit, that can, with a brother, you have that sort of stigma. Like I see my two brothers, you know, they're both gamers.
Mm.
They both fight over the same things. But all in all, we play basketball.
Mm.
So we go down to the front by the sea and play basketball. And their two personalities are they're both competitive, but in their own way.
Mm.
And, you know, and then I try and be the mentors of them in that sense. But I am still a bit of the older big brother, you know. And when you're a person that's specifically doing something like you are, they trust that, you know. And I have to show what I can do for them. If they see me running every day, they're like, cool. Because then they see my mentality every day, you know. So it is example, show them, and then they'll do it. It's like my brother... My 18-year-old brother, he loves gaming too much. He needs a bit more balance.
Mm.
So, but he'll come and play basketball for 2 hours or whatever. You know, it's getting him out to do that. And the other one as well, it's the screens, man. Get them away.
It's so bad.
You need a diet of this thing.
They've lost the ability to talk and be humans.
Yeah.
If you come in my gym, Ryan, and hopefully you do one day, that you'll see that. You'll every day
100%. I'll be down there.
100%.
Pandora will make it
slowly.
But, 2 days, I'm coming.
Yeah, every day you'll see people come in and you'll see me go walk out and come back in.
Mm.
Every day people come in. I've even done it with a policeman. I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
Every day they come in and you'll see people go walk out and come back in. So if you walk in J7 and you don't say hiya, hello, and then let on to people. I want my place to the place. I'm a vibe. I'm a person on vibe. So when you walk in, you go say hello to everybody in that place. Everybody. If you walk in and you don't say hello to me, or you walk past, this is what a lot of them do. I might be at the back of the gym. Might be 10 people in front of me. They'll walk past everybody and just come to me and say, yes, Jay. I'm thinking, just because it's my gym, I'm not no better than nobody else. I said, walk out and come back in. Or if you get something and you don't say please or thank you, I say walk out and come back in. And now what it is, they get it now. So when they tell them to walk out, usually when I used to do it, they'll go outside and go, what's he doing? Why is he sending me out? Now they'll walk out and go, I've forgotten to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I forgotten to say please. I was leaving and I've forgotten to say bye to everybody. I just think them kind of routines are so important for young people. And I've had hundreds of parents who say it's changed the way their kids now come in. When they come in from school and they go, hiya, mum, I'm going, see you later, mum. Or they come in and say, mum, I'm back in now, mum. Dad's the same please and thank yous and byes and the welcome. I think them kind of things are just as important. And yeah, man, you'll see it. And when I first did it, again, people didn't get it. People thought I was being strict. Because I'll never forget when I was younger playing cricket, there was times where even I could have a man of the match performance. Somebody could come up to my dad and go, Trevino did amazing, didn't it? My dad would go, it's cool. Cool Jamaican, my dad.
Yeah.
But then my dad was always more proud if somebody came up to him and say, Trevino's so well-mannered and respected. Well-mannered and he's full of respect. My dad will be beaming with joy over a comment like that, rather than you could be the greatest athlete in the world.
Yeah.
But if you're well-mannered and you respect people and you walk in and you're kind and you're humble and you...
Not just what you do.
Of course, man. That's so important. That's so important.
Mm.
And like I said, but even adults, it comes from parenting. I had a policeman walking. He was at the back doing something at the gym. And he's walked in and he's gone, "Is this your car?"
Straight up.
So I just put my head down and I was in my diary and he went, "Is this your car? I can't get out. It's blocking me in." So I put my head down and I went, "You didn't say hello to me." And he looked at me and I said, "You didn't say hello to me." So I said, "Walk out and come back in." I didn't think he would though. He did. He walked out, he come back in, he's come back in and he's gone, "Good afternoon." I said, "How are you? All right, how can I help? Is this your car?" And I went, "Yeah, I'll move it for you now. Sorry, officer." But even he did it. And I think even adults, we miss that sometimes.
Mm.
Walk in and say hello to people. You know how powerful that is, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you could be having the worst day. Somebody notices you. Mm. Somebody sees you and goes, "How are you? Hello." Or says goodbye to you. That means I've noticed your presence. And some people don't get noticed, man.
Do you know what I find funny, what you just remind me of? When I go for a run in the woods, right, which is big up Trent Park around the corner, but I can't run there at the minute because it's rained so much, I'll probably lose my legs. But in a park, which isn't out of society, but it's in nature, if you're in a park and you're running, 9 times out of 10, everyone will say hello to you.
Yeah.
But you walk along the street, no one says hello to you.
It's bad.
And it's almost like nature obviously is, you know, we're in a shed with grass floor. It's then the closer you get to nature and plants, the more human you feel in a sense. And I've always found that fascinating. Like, why don't people say hello on the street? Or if you're on a holiday, like along the beachfront, some people say hello, some people don't. Often you have a kind of nod with a jogger, like you're both going through pain right now. So you're like, "Go on," you know. So I always find that funny, like how society breeds us further apart from each other. Yeah. And that's why I think I've heard you speak about the gym and how the gym can have this kind of... This kind of feeling, like I don't really like going to the gym that much. I don't like how the gym is sometimes, how it's
horrible.
Yeah, it's too many eyes. It's too much. You know, I'd rather work out in the cold in the garden on my little station or run solo, things like that. And I find to have a rule which isn't strict, I think it's just a nice mannered discipline, creates that environment straight away, because no one wants to be the person to walk out and walk back in.
I've kicked out members. I've lost members of my gym for that one purpose.
Yeah,
I don't care about if you're a member of my gym. If your vibe or energy isn't what I want, I don't want you in there. I've lost members where, look at that. There, I hate J7 is called a health center. In that health center, you've got two sections. You've got a studio and you've got a gym. I didn't call it a gym because I hate the way gyms... I hate the word gym.
Yeah.
The gyms are the worst places in the world. They make people... Like, I've just had a horrible experience at a gym around here. It was intimidating. It was aggressive. For a place that was so busy, it can be the most lonely place.
Mm.
People... Imagine if you're a woman, a man that's new to exercise, going into a place where you feel like you're getting watched and judged. That's enough to make you not want to go back again.
Yeah.
So I wanted to change the definition of gym. So now at my facility, I'm so glad that when you walk in and you're in the gym, everybody that comes through that door will always say, "Ayo, you all right? What's your..." Like, if they know you, "Ayo, Ryan, you okay?" Or if they don't know you, "Ayo, I'm Jay." Introduce themselves. Automatically, that environment now is so friendly and warm, you don't mind working out.
Yeah.
Where if you got to go into an environment where people are giving you dirty looks and there's a bit of tension and there's you feel like you're getting judged and you feel like you can't do this because of, and what you're wearing and all that shit. It's a horrible environment, and I want to redefine that and change people's opinions. Now I've got 80-year-old women who go, "I'm going gym." And then, love, you are going gym. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's important. Just redefine what people think a gym is and redefine people's experiences with exercise, because I think that's been totally lost in the last 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. What's the main thing the elderly have taught you?
To listen.
Yeah.
To listen and to be myself, man. To listen and be myself. And I think the elderly people, disabled people and elderly people do not come with a sob story. So one thing that I've never ever done is treat an elderly person like they're old. Treat disabled people like the disabled. There's people that I train at that are disabled, right? And I don't know what the disability is. I've never had that convo. There's people in that I train that I've never sat with and gone, what's your disability? I don't give a shit. Let me see who you are. Let me see what I've got. Let me see what you got. Let me see what you can do. Let me see what I can do. Let's work something out together. Where disabled people, elderly people, they get patronized so much, man. I've seen disabled people get talked to like the babies. Elderly people. I've had people come in and tell me stories about they go into a gym, like elderly people, and some arrogant trainers come over to him and, oh, I love you, okay? Do you want me to help you up the stairs? No, I'm all right, love, let me walk. Like, they get patronized.
Mm.
And elderly people have kind of taught me that at their stage in life, man, the stories that they tell me, it teaches me how to live my life now. When I get to that age, I want to be able to say, you know what, I've been true to myself and I've got to 80 or 90 years old being myself. And they've taught me to listen. Like, we don't listen enough. And I used to, I didn't listen, man. Still don't listen to me wife now. But I didn't listen. I used to think I did. And I remember an example, one of my old ladies was telling me about a daughter who lives down in Dorset, who's got a dog who was ill or something. And the week after, she went, oh yeah, you remember when I was telling you about my daughter? Dog passed away. And I was like, oh yeah, oh, that's sad. She went, you don't remember, do you? And I went, yeah, I do. She went, no, you don't. And I went, nah, I don't remember. She went, don't ever do that again to me.
Mm.
I've known you for 5 years. And that's something that dog was part of our family. And I told you something that was deep to me and you did. And I went, it proper humbled me. I felt about this big.
Yeah, yeah.
I should have been listening since that day. Now, especially with the elderly people, I make sure that I listen because they will test me.
Mm-hmm.
They will test me the week after and say, do you remember? You know what I mean? So they've taught me to listen. And that's something that I should have always done and I never did until they humbled me and taught me to listen.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
I think that's also, you know, talking about your passion and that's where you care.
Yeah.
You know, so it's never a great feeling when you've just met someone and then they tell your name, they tell you their name, and then 2 seconds later you're like, fuck,
shit.
But what I do, so I do this table talks at London Fields, so it's On the Street podcast.
Mm.
It's fucking conversation roulette. I put a little sign up. And I just, like, I have 3 topics for the day.
Mm.
Once we had the Queen, psychedelics, and free speech all in one thing.
Oh, God.
That brought a real collection of people. But it's also, I started realizing, okay, I'm nervous or scared right now.
Mm.
But these people are more scared to sit with me. Or they see it like a trap. Mm. Or they, you know, because the way the internet is. But it attracts that energy. And what I realized there about listening and what it taught me was as soon as I meet that person, as soon as they say their name, say it back. And then when they sit down, say their name again, you know, and say it. So you've said it 3 times because I know
that's clever.
I know within a second, I'm going to have to say their name again.
That's clever. And I need to give that. That's so good.
You know, because as soon as you've done that, the fear of not knowing their name afterwards in a social environment can be bad, but on camera, it's even worse because you can record that moment and replay it.
And it's there on the internet forever.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Man. Yeah, that's a really good, I'm going to try that.
Yeah, just say it once, say it twice, and then just say, oh, sorry, was your name? Or just say, oh, nice to meet you, I'm Ryan again, you know, and then you've made that interaction. And, you know, with what you do, you see in people's faces, like, oh, it's just remembering someone's name that you just met, you know, and then I'm having a conversation with them about zodiacs or psychedelics, and I can see fear in people. So you can see either a little tremor, or you see, but they're getting through it because they're like, I want to talk about this, I want to do this. So they break that down. Yeah. And I know after that little table talk session, they might never see me again.
Mm.
But I don't put them on the internet and ever shape them in a way that would hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, the comments I can't control them. People can have their opinion. Mm. But most of the time, if you like what you're putting out and what I'm putting out, it's to attract the good of people and then highlight that from that.
Yes, 100%.
And remembering their names.
100%, man. And I believe that everybody's got amazing inside of them, man. Everyone's got some kind of amazingness inside of them. And I think with the right look of music and the right vibe and the right energy and the right zen, like you said, and I can expose that.
Yeah.
And I think that there is the most beautiful, powerful thing. And when people see that, it's, mate, you know what? One thing that I love telling people this. Do you know how many, I'm so blessed. It's defos in the thousands of disabled people around the world.
Yeah.
Who have copied my stuff, bro, and shown it me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most.
Sending new videos and
I think how amazing is that? And that's why the internet can be a funny place.
Yeah.
But two things that I love about the internet, I'll just tell this one. It was one of the first ones. Young boy from Ireland watched a video of me and one of my guys, Josh. Shout out, Josh, little bro.
Big up, Josh.
Yeah, where I got Josh out of his chair and he's holding onto a big metal pavalette thing. And he's standing up by himself, holding his own body weight. And after about his, because it's an awkward position, his legs shake. And after a while, when your body gets used to it, his legs stop shaking and he stood up and I was aghast. I was, yes, Joshy! And I was buzzing because I've never seen him do that before and he's never done it before. This young boy in Ireland seen that. And he messaged me saying that he's the same age as Josh. Very similar form of cerebral palsy. And he said that he's never thought about his wheelchairs or just defined him. So he said, I'm going to try that. I watched that video and I'm going to try it. So he filmed himself in his bedroom onto his dressing table doing the same video and he's crying his eyes out and he sent it to me saying, look, I'm doing it. And I sat back in my office going, oh my fucking God. That is amazing. Obviously, I'm not the kind of person who will post that out because that's a personal thing that someone sent to me. That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to put it on my story. But I was amazed by it. It was thinking, oh my God, that is... And I've had hundreds of them from people, from countries, man, that I didn't even know existed. Kazakhstan's in all these countries.
Yeah,
I've had people in Ukraine send me videos when they're going through wars of things that they're doing, that copying and replicating videos. And I think this is the amazing thing with the internet, things like that. And also, I remember... As a youngster, your family is supposed to say good things about you. As a youngster growing up, your mum and dad are supposed to say, oh, Ryan, you're so handsome. Oh, Ryan, you're so clever.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say that.
I'm waiting on them.
Yeah, I am too.
It's true, though. It's
mom,
true.
Dad, step up. Tell us some good things. But it loses a bit of value. But when it comes from your mum and your dad and your family, does it bang? Does it really slap as hard as it should? Probably doesn't, because you think, if your son shits at football, you're not going to tell him.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to say, oh, you did great. Mm. Like, my son's the worst at football. Like, he's terrible. Like, sorry, my wife's watching. Sorry, but he's disgustingly bad at football. But you can't tell him that. You got to go, oh, yeah, you're great.
Yeah, yeah,
He's shit. He's rubbish.
No, I wouldn't like it.
Well, anyway, the internet now has become a place where, thank God, like God willing, like I've got an amazing following on TikTok and things like that. An example being these people that I train can now go on TikTok and see 1,000 comments of people saying how fucking fantastic they are.
Mm-hmm.
I've got youngsters that have got all kinds of different disabilities that will message me going, oh my God, I've just been on TikTok. Have you read the comments? And I don't read comments, Ryan.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't read comments. I've never done it. I try to stay away from that because all I want to concentrate on is giving people the most magical experience.
Yeah, and the here and now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't care about the comments. If people say amazing things, and I know they do, I do see them and I like as much as I can. I'm not I'm not one of them people that going through the comments.
No, no.
Because I just want to make
That's sure. not what you're looking for.
No, I'm just looking to
continue what you did. Yeah.
Creating magic that can inspire the world and do what I'm doing. And my people that train will ring me and say, oh my God, have you seen the comments? So-and-so from Germany said I was beautiful. So-and-so from Australia said that I was amazing. So-and-so from Uganda said that they're going to replicate what I did because I'm their inspiration. And I think as a youngster, to have other people tell you them things is the most amazing thing.
And I
think it's so empowering for the people that are trained that it's not just Trevino and the people in the gym saying, you're amazing. Josh, Amy, Francesco, Adele, DJ, all of these people that are trained can go online and see people that are not Trevino saying that they're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's one of the most amazing things with the internet at the moment.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's man. Great. And I think what you're putting out, you know, it's similar. The rules you have on the internet are similar to the rules you have in the gym. Not that there are rules on the internet, but what I'm saying is that the fact that you have, if you're not saying hello or your manners aren't right, you walk out.
Mm.
And if you exude that in the place where these videos are being made, I think it creates the same community online, same people, because anyone in the comments saying anything negative will be pushed out of the comments, and no one else is going to agree with that.
Of course, they're attacking me. I've had, I've not, my little cousin.
Trolling the trolls.
Oh my God, they go at them. And this is the thing.
Good now, though, in that sense.
Yeah.
I've had to
get used to the social media stuff, man. And I'm very lucky that I'm the way I am because I'm naked. Naked, no man nipples. I don't care about what people think about me or how I sound or act. But then when you're getting videos that now get bloody, one of the videos the other day has got 15,000 comments. Not every one of them are going to be good. And you get some idiots. I didn't know trolling was a real thing.
Yeah.
I did not know it was a real thing. Did you know it was a real thing?
It shouldn't be, but it is. Yeah.
It's actually a real, real thing. Somebody the other day commented, somebody screenshotted it me. It was a video of me dancing with one of my ladies who's got dementia, dancing to some Elvis. Or Ed Sheeran, I can't remember what it was. This guy's coming saying, I bet he can't fight. He looks like a dickhead.
Yeah, like,
what? How? What's the, like, it's weird. And then I've got random people who say them things and I did not know trolling was a real thing. Somebody else called me a pussy old. Somebody called me a pussy old for doing some stuff with another old lady. But it's like these trolls will say these things because they just want a reaction from other people.
Yeah.
And I find
projection a lot of the time.
Yeah, I find it mind-blowing, man. I didn't think it was a real thing until I started getting it. And it's sad. And obviously, they're not... I'm touch wood. We've had no trolls say anything silly about the people. It's about me, so I don't care. But the internet, man, it's...
mad.
I've got to get used to it.
Mm.
I've got to get used to it. There's amazing things and there's people around the world that you can inspire.
Yeah.
But now there's just quite a few idiots that just want to cause a bit of shit, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had one video I had to take down. It was a lady sat on the table talks with me and it was about the Queen. Mm. And she worked for the Commonwealth and the BBC. I think she was in journalism as well. So she's very knowledgeable. And she sat down and then... her sort of opinion was, you know, the Queen's history and things like that. And she said, how can a woman of colour respect something like the monarchy in the way it is? Mm. And it was very, very close to the funeral when I posted it. And it went 1.5 million in 5 hours. And the comments were actually two-sided, but they started fighting amongst themselves. And then I'm looking at it as a case, well, now they're fighting amongst themselves. This is going to grow because of what it is. But how I looked at it is it's not growing good for this woman because there's 50% of her, you know, and how I look at it is it's your page, your content.
Mm.
You know, you have to, how I see it is when it becomes an opinion basis, people are speaking online and spreading something. I have to be very careful with how I angle what they've said, not chop it up, not change it too much and be careful how it is. But she basically was phoning me from Instagram and I took it down because I was like, I don't want to affect anyone's livelihood. Yeah. I don't want to affect anyone's work. But at the same time, we need to live in a world where we can express And
everyone's got the entitled to an opinion.
Exactly. And when you take it down, that changes the narrative of, you know, can we be cancelled, or are you being cancelled because you've taken that down, you know?
Mm.
And
that's the only thing I'm a little bit different with, where I don't care.
Yeah, I don't, because I'm like, what I said is what I said. Yeah. And that might change and develop later on in life from the way I think. But if I didn't say it then, I wouldn't change and develop to say it now.
Yeah. If you take something down because of whatever you think, that's cool. And I think that's clever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being true to yourself. If you didn't agree with something, and I think that's the key to when you make real content, man. I don't give a shit.
No. You have to make mistakes as well.
Of course, man. I had a woman who went crazy. And I ended up just deleting. I ended up blocking her. My block list is massive. On Instagram, I'm blocking.
It's a scroll.
block. If I do see a random comment, like if you do, I do see him randomly.
Yeah.
I see something negative or something silly, I just block him.
Yeah.
Because I know.
There's no need for it with what you're doing. It's mad.
Of course. But there's a lady that I had to block because I'm not sure if people do watch it. Marley's pretty famous now. Marley's my little young son, he's a king.
Yeah.
He's cerebral palsy, he's a quality little lad. But Marley's got a thing, right, between us, that he calls me a muppet, and then he's got this thing where he just calls everyone a muppet. And one of my little cousins who works for me, Kino, he'll ring Kino when he's at the gym, FaceTime, just to call him a muppet. And it's just our little, like, it's our little J7 joke that Marley calls everybody a muppet. So every video with Marley, you'll always hear me calling him a muppet. This lady sent some comment. You're so disrespectful. How dare you call him a muppet? And this and that. And this and that. I was just about to write something nasty back to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered that I can't do that no more because people are watching. So I didn't write it. And then everyone just started, rightfully so, defending me, saying no, like, he's obviously got a relationship with this young boy where it's just a bit of banter. And she wasn't having it, she kept on going. And then I thought to myself, I'm gonna message her, but I'm gonna explain to her the history between me and Marley's joking word, the muppet.
Yeah,
and I said, fuck that, I don't need to explain to this woman why I call Marley a muppet. I'm not saying it in a disrespectful way, that's a private joke between me and him.
And if he understands it
and laughs, and it would have been fake if I didn't call him a muppet. If me and Marley call each other a muppet about 50 times in that 30-minute session, just because the camera's on, for me not to call him a muppet would be fake as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And I then thought, I don't need to explain. So then I just blocked her.
Mm. I mean, if you did explain, you'd just go round in circles.
Yeah, of course you would.
Because stupid is as stupid does. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to... I find that with certain people that have walked in and out of my life, that you have to just go, can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you just repeat yourself.
Yeah.
And you get nowhere. And then, but you have to do it once to realize, in the sense with people in your life, that, okay, they're just going to say the same thing back, or that they're not really listening anymore. Yeah. You know, they haven't reached that point. You know, so yeah, don't comment. Just block.
Comment. And yeah, I've got to learn how to behave. That's one thing I'm learning what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning my best to behave. And people will never understand, especially when you've got something unique, which the field that I have, people will never fully understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Only I will understand it. I do things when I'm working that on the outside eye, you may not understand. Like, it's very unusual. If you're looking at it, you're thinking, as a personal trainer talking to a bunch of kids about women, respecting women, or being a man.
Because
it's not what, I'm doing something very different, but I understand it.
Yeah.
And I film it in a way that's organic. I don't do take one and take two.
No. It's there and then.
It's there and then.
Yeah.
And as long as I understand it, that's all that matters to me. And I think that comes through on the camera with the videos. I'm so glad. I'm so happy, man. I'm so proud. I'm so proud of how it's going, because who would have thought me being myself and doing what, being just creating what I've created, is now inspiring and putting smiles on disabled, elderly,
all around the world, cancer,
around the world.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Mm-mm.
That's the craziest.
Yeah,
that's the craziest thing to me. And I think, you know what? long may it continue. Long may it continue. And this is why I think it's power in conversation, because there's somebody that will watch this podcast with me and you just having fun.
Yeah.
Who will know somebody disabled or elderly, going through cancer or stroke, dementia, and say, maybe we can put some smile on people's faces.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. And it's that powerful for me.
Yeah, I mean, knowledge is everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just out of reach in certain places.
Deep.
Deep, yo.
That's deep.
We're in the shed, yo. But it's true. And I look at it like, that's, for me, that's what this show is about. It's education.
Yeah.
It's finding people like yourself that can show people a different way of thinking. You know, you said people will look at a personal trainer talking to you for about you know, different parts of life. But I think it's in the name, a personal trainer. You're training the youth to how to be responsible in life,
yeah,
and then educating them through, you know, health and everything else, and working out. So I think for me, it's like you, like Wim Hof we were talking about earlier, the breath work. Now you've got loads of breath workers everywhere, you know, because one, they see, okay, this is something that's good for me, but I can also help other people with it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it will spawn. But what is the, you know, what's the future for J7, the centre?
Oh, man.
You're going to get a warehouse.
I've been asked this question so much.
Yeah.
Even on the way up here, I put it on my Instagram, asked me some questions, and so many people's asking the future. The future for me is...
They want to see you grow, that's why, I reckon.
I want to keep on doing what I'm doing, because it's going at a rate now where it's going so global. I'm so happy with that. I'm not a greedy person.
No.
J7, I'd love to have multiple facilities, but I'm not sure how that would work, because I can't be at multiple facilities.
You need a clone, bro.
And this is the thing, what I've always realised, man, no disrespect to people. Please don't judge me on this or think I'm being big-headed. There's nobody on this planet that can wear this kind of passion for this like me. I genuinely believe that. But I put my mortgage on it. There's nobody in this world that can do this the way I do it. I live and breathe this shit every day. And I take it serious, more serious than I've ever took, than anything in my life. If I've got multiple facilities, can I find somebody with that passion? Probably not. Even if I train up staff as much as I could, I don't know if they will still have this, what I've got here. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's no disrespect to people. I do want J7 to have a bigger facility, because we are growing our facility. But for the future for me is, there's parts of the world, I need to keep on touching people around the world. That sounded weird, didn't it? You know what I meant? Yeah, I just want to keep on growing.
Inspiring.
I keep on inspiring people around the world, because if I've, the amount of thousands of disabled people that I've got up out of their wheelchairs that have sent me the evidence, how many more thousands and thousands of disabled people around the world who are yet to get inspired off my work, who are yet to become better? How many more? I've had people with dementia tell me some amazing stories. Amazing stories, man. And how many more? I need to tell you one. And this is why it's so important to me to keep on doing what I'm doing, to touch more people. There's a lady. She lived next to... have you got Londis in London? Like, the news agent's called Londis.
I've seen it, Londis. But I don't know.
You posh kids. Yeah. Londis, it's like a news agent's.
Yeah.
Like a grocery shop. She lived near Londis, and she seen a video of me and Tommy, one of my stroke survivors. And she's had a stroke, but she's also got dementia. And she said, early stage Parkinson's, sorry. Said, after watching Tommy do what he was doing, it made her kind of slap herself in the face and go, you know what, I need to do better. He's in a worse position than me. I need to do more. There's a, where she lives in her flat, there's a Londis, a news agent's, probably about 5 minutes away. She's never walked to it. She's got a bit of embarrassment. Doesn't think she can do it. Bit of laziness. And after watching a video with Tommy, for the first time, I think it was 9 years.
God.
9 years. She said, fuck it. Sorry for swearing, Mum. I'm going to get to that shop, because if Tommy can do what he can do with Javino and he's in a worse position than me, I can be better than what I'm doing now. She got up and she walked to the shop. She stopped halfway, pulled up on a bench, took a few little breaths, got herself together, and then she went back again and she did it.
Yeah.
She went to the shop and came back, and she rang me and sent me a video crying, beautifully crying about she's never done that in 9 years, and that video with Tommy made her, gave her what she needed to be better that day. How many more other people like her are around the world that I'm yet to try and positively influence?
Mm.
So when it comes to what's the future for J7, the world, man, for me, it's the world, and just trying to inspire as much people as I can and trying to put that care and love back into the world that I think that's been lost a bit with all this stuff that's going on.
Yes.
Sounds corny, but it's...
No, it's true. It's so true. Yeah. That's why I was rolling my eyes in that sense, because it's like, it's so miffed. Like, and how it inspires me is, you know, I don't struggle with nearly anything close to the people that you work with in that sense. Mm. But what it shows me is like, if they can do that, like, you know, I've got to get rid of some of the things I'm worried about, because they're in the grand scheme of things, they're nothing.
It's gratitude, man.
Yeah, 100%.
This is one thing.
Be grateful for what you've got completely.
Man, I think I'm very lucky again to be in a position where every day I'm getting slapped with gratitude. I can't help but be grateful for what I've got. Because when you see somebody who's got... Bro, I trained somebody 3 weeks ago. He's my age.
Mm.
Terminal.
Yeah.
And he's chosen me, right? He's at where my facility is. There's a hospital, North Manchester Hospital. He's literally 5 minutes next doors. And I've got a great relationship with them guys, and they refer cancer patients to me. This young man, he's a... terminal, he knows he's only got a few months left to live. He said, I want to train. I enjoy exercise. I want Jay. I said, fuck you. This is more than exercise. This is what people don't understand. It's not just, even though I'm very giddy and I'm loud and I'm in your face, people don't see them kind of things where this man is at a, there's a stopwatch on when he's going to take his last breath, and he knows it.
Mm.
And he knows it's coming soon. Yet there's nothing more important in this world than life. Life, do you know what I mean? Memories, everyday life.
Yeah.
And this man's got a stopwatch on when is his going to end. Which is obviously a horrible touch wood. It's a horrible thing to talk about. But he's chosen Jovino.
Mm.
And the fact, he's chosen me. That's, you know what I mean? That's deep. That to me is a privilege. I'm humbled, but I'm honored that he's chosen me. And those are the kind of things that I have to deal with every day. And yeah, man, it just makes you have a very, very strong gratitude for life when you see people in positions where the nightmare situations.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? That's just one situation. But what if someone's got no family? I've had the elderly people with no family.
Yeah.
Who, when they come to my session on a Friday, I'm the only person that they've spoken to all week.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad. That breaks my heart. And I've had that for many, many years now, when you might see some people. This is why when I'm a big Robin Williams fan, and I've even seen recently when that man in America called Twitch, the DJ, died.
Yeah.
These are very energetic, loud, what they call out there people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're depressed and they end up committing...
suicide. Yeah.
And these ladies, man, I've asked so many over the years that are the most charismatic, loud... people in your face, great characters, but they're saving that for me, because throughout the week they don't see nobody because they ain't got no family.
Yeah.
They're at the age where everyone's either living in another part of the country or they're not here.
Yeah.
So Jovino's class is the reason what they use, that's their reason for getting out of bed.
And they must meet people of their age and everything in exactly. that as well, yeah.
So that's the exercise class. Isn't just a 12 o'clock exercise class for OAPs.
Yeah.
That exercise class is that person's only opportunity that week to leave her house and be around other humans. So when because I understand that now, I need to make sure that when you turn up, I'm going to give you the best experience of your week. I'm going to give you so much love and joy that hopefully... it'll keep you topped up until next time.
Next time, yeah.
And so it's more than just exercise, and that's what I think people don't see.
No, I think loneliness is a real scary thing.
Oh, man, it's horrible. Yeah.
Older people, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're retired, and then what? You know, it's like my dad, he's never going to stop. I mean, he used to be an estate agent, but he's just got so much energy. He likes tinkering, I would say, or working on one job while he started another job on the car outside. Mm. He'll be mowing the lawn halfway and then he'll be cooking something.
It's like my wife, she's like that.
You know, he'll get everything done in like 5 hours, but maybe just the way he does it. But, you know, he goes charity shops. He's 74. Mm. Buys things there, goes, sells them at the car boot, or he'll go to classic car conventions, or, you know, he's always doing something. Mm. But he's actually quite good at being alone. Mm. He's quite good with himself. Like he
I
can,
like that.
Yeah, and I think
I'm like that.
Mm, I think you have to learn that sometimes when you're needing people for yourself to boost yourself, that's not the way. You know, it's how you do it. It's to give to others, and then you feel better through that.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
that's just triggered in my head.
I don't get many questions on here, so it's good.
Because the guy was about your age.
Yeah.
Do you get lonely?
I have been. I have been in life. But I don't feel now.
Do you not feel lonely now?
No.
It's quite common. I've had quite a few people in the last couple of years who...
Yeah.
In the 30s, you could be in a room full of people. Mm. You could be...
You're triggering different things, though, as I'm thinking now.
You could be in a room full of people. Mm-hmm. You could be in a pub, a bar, a club.
Yeah.
Having a whale of a time.
If they're not your people.
If they're not...
Yeah,
see what I'm saying, Ryan?
Yeah.
See, I knew that me and you would be like this.
this guy was saying that
he came in, man, and he was... I could see there was something wrong. I'm a people person, so I can see when someone's pretending to be happy.
Yeah.
Pretending to be joyful. Like, look, you ain't going to feel me. I'm a look in your soul. I can see the truth. And I pulled him and he said, I'm just lonely. So I said, you seem like you're always out and partying and living life. I'm lonely, man, because they're not my people. He's out there and it looks like he's having a good time.
Mm.
But loneliness is something that's crept in the... Are we middle-aged? What are we? If we're in our 30s?
We're young, bro.
Younger. I'm about to say middle-aged. But people in the 30s and the 20s?
Well, you would say, you know, the common thing of what people say is 40s is midlife crisis.
Oh, stop it.
But I think I'm going to be on mad form at 40 anyway, but still. But... if I keep going the same way, but I think we are sort of, well, we're 30, middle-aged.
We're middle young. But yeah, man, I think that's a really good question, because even though, like, on the outskirts you're a very confident person, I've seen people like that just like you or me,
mm-hmm.
who are very lonely.
I can have a real... I stay away from drink, because drink can put me into a real depressional state of the next day. I'm known for bad hangovers, but also I'm known for... people used to call me Brian. So Brian is an alter ego that comes out if he's pissed and he's a nightmare. And that I had to remove from myself. Mm. And that was, I think, you know, I was an estate agent and I hated it. I fucking hated it because I just saw the lies of it. You need 4 sales a month or a week. You need this. It's like, we don't have this stock. We don't, you know, and that whole targeted kind of train in a, I can't work for people. Just doesn't work. And I got done for drink driving. And that is when I changed. That's when I started a clothing line. That's when I was like, I need to do shit for myself. And I think I purposely got done for drink driving to get out of that job, to get out of that person.
Yeah,
I needed that problem.
Meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in regards to loneliness, I think I'm at a period in life where I want to be I've got a really good, like, the pictures on the wall, like my mates and everything. I've got a mad collection of people around me that I really have known for years and, like, appreciate, and we all love each other, and I can ring most people and we'll help each other, you know. But at this stage in my life, I don't mind being by myself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel lonely. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I need to ring someone up, go out for a pint just to be around someone. I can meditate, I can run.
Yeah.
You know, you need to fill yourself with space in order to grow yourself as well, not just to be around people. So I think learning that at this stage in my life now has helped me a lot for later on.
Yeah.
But I do want to be the pensioner with 20 mates, you know, that goes and play bowls, you know, like Benidorm.
Benidorm.
Hopefully not.
What I've realised, man, is the reason why I actually, that is, I've clocked on that The power of care is the most powerful thing that I am really trying. That's one of the principles of my everyday kind of being.
For yourself or for?
No, it's to show people that
show
I
people,
care.
Yeah.
Because you could have two people now. Person A is around 20 people. Then 20 people don't care about him. It's obvious. Mm. They humour him. They give him banter. But they don't care about him and he knows it. The other person could be around two people. But them two people, he knows is listening to every single one of his problems. Mm. They actually care about if he's happy, if he's sad. They check in on him. They message him or her. That person there with two people, they ain't lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the people I train, I need them to know that I care about them so that they're never lonely. Does that make sense? Because even how busy I am now, and everything's going crazy, the people that I come across, they need to know that this ain't your typical PT client shit. PT client relationship. Okay, see you later. I'm a check-in. I know when you're not good.
Mm-hmm.
You should know when I'm not good because I don't ever want you to be lonely. I think being lonely is one of the most horrible things. Luckily, I've never been lonely, but I've seen people who have been lonely, and that leads to so many other things I don't even want to go into.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Robin Williams and the other people that, you know what I mean? And I think to me, man, I always want to make sure that no matter what happens, whoever I come in contact with, you know, like, you know that I care. So you know that, yo, Jay's messaged me, and this is why the money is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I take your money, I'm training you because I want financial gain, where if I don't take your money, which I never have, you know that I'm training you because I fucking want to.
Yeah.
I want you to be happy and happy. You know what I mean? I want you to be healthy. I ain't never took a penny off you. So you should go. He actually cares about me.
Mm.
And when that kind of twigs in that person, it's amazing for me. When that person generally knows that Jay cares about
that
me.
That you're there, yeah.
And this is why, so like, even even recently, one of my youngsters, Josh, that we talk about all the time, like, he was going through some shit. He's trying to blag me, I could tell. And I pulled him. So I said, you know I'm here. You know I give a shit about an in you. And then we got over it within 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, he was back to himself. And I'm...
magical 10 days.
Yeah. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that I had something to do with that. Like the fact that he knew that there's somebody out there that actually cares. Obviously, he's got other people that care about him. But I think the more people that you know care about you, if you do get into a dark hole, man, I think it's easier to get out of that hole.
Yeah.
If you know you've got a lot of support network of people who generally care about your well-being.
Because when they care, they will ask.
Mm.
You know, that's the thing. It's like you can have a load of people around you, but they don't ring you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, once you go out of the drinking thing, where are all your friends at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that. Okay, so if all the people I'm around all go to the pub or all drink and everything else, then and I don't want to do that. I need to go indoor climbing. Yeah. Or I need to go somewhere else where people are going to be more like-minded.
Yeah.
You know, and it's making that step. But some people get so into a loneliness that they don't branch out again. And then, you know, that's where we need people like you, where you're going to say, what's up?
Yeah. I ain't afraid to ask that.
No. My final question is what I ask everyone on the show. And it's, what is reality to you?
Reality?
Yeah.
You're deep, Ryan! Look it up!
Well, I say the best till last, bro.
Reality to me, my brother, is it's normality. And proving to people that normality is sick. People now, people want to be fancy and want to do things drastic and difficult. I think normality, me and you having a normal conversation, is powerful. Me training somebody in a wheelchair and treating them normal, it's powerful. Training somebody with cancer or stroke and giving them a normal experience is powerful. Where my reality is just being myself and giving people normal experiences. Because to me, that's where the power is. And to me as well, reality, that's a really good question. There's so many strands to it. Reality is understanding that people go through shit, but you got to still see them. And there's too many people out now that will see people going through shit and choose to look this way.
Yeah.
And I think we can't do that no more. So my reality is, I'm going to see you going through some shit. I'm going to see it. I'm going to notice you. I got a friend called Chris Foster who said it. And I always remember when he said it, Chris, he went, I see you. I see you. And I think I try and live by that every day as well. Since Chris said it, I say to myself every day. And now that you said that question, reality to me is about making sure that I see you. Whether you're able-bodied or disabled, whether it's cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, cancer, stroke, whatever you're going through as a person, Jovino's going to see you. And I'm going to see you. I'm going to react accordingly. If I see that you're happy, I'm going to react and give you more happiness. Mm-hmm. If I see that you're feeling funny, I'm going to react and be funnier because I'm funny as shit. But if you're sad, I'm going to see it. And I'm going to get you out of that sadness. If you feel lonely, I'm going to see it. And I think the message that I'd love for people to understand is that you see people. Don't look people that like, I'm gonna hit you, so I'm gonna hit you with something deep here. I know you like the deep shit. How many times do people,
I could take it
people can look at people, but they don't really see them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
People look
blind
at
to it.
People look at people.
Yeah.
But they're not really seeing
Or caring.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's my reality, man. Just making sure that I see people. And man, I stick to my guns. And I keep on just putting happiness out there, man. And it sounds corny. When I say it out loud, I think, you corny bastard. But just putting out happiness, it's so contagious.
Mm.
And it's getting global, so why stop, Ryan?
Yeah, don't stop.
I ain't going to stop.
Don't stop.
Don't stop, ever.
Ever. Yeah, but it's been amazing. I cannot thank you enough.
Can we do it again?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
We need to do it again, man.
Yeah.
I feel like I could be talking for hours.
We literally could. But yeah, maybe we'll do it again in summer, for sure.
10%.
Sure, spring. Yeah, man. And I just want to say, you know, what you're doing, obviously, is amazing.
Thank you,
I hope you're blessed with, you know, all the time in the world to do this for everyone else.
Thank
and
you,
for yourself. And yeah, we'll do it again.
110%.
Do you have anything you want to shout out? Anything you got going on?
I got loads.
Anything you're allowed to say?
I've got things going on I'm not allowed to say. But listen, all I want to say to people is, go and find somebody to hug. You get me? Like, it sounds corny, but go, whether it's in your family,
yeah,
whether it's at work. If you look deeply at somebody properly, you will see somebody needs a hug.
Mm-mm.
Or needs some kind of attention. Address it. Please don't ignore people. We're in a society now where too many people are getting ignored, and that's the problem. That's what leads to suicides. That's what leads to depression and anxiety, because people are getting ignored. As humans, stop ignoring other people. You understand? And like, I'm a hugger. The first time I met you.
Yeah, we hugged.
I never met you in my life. I'm going to give you a hug.
I'm a hugger too.
I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm a hugging
And without being weird, did it feel good?
Yeah, it's good.
All right then.
It breaks that boundary straight. You're like, cool, I can match this energy.
So if me and Ryan can hug and we met for the first time today.
I feel like you're going to launch out.
And it felt good. It felt really good. Go find somebody and hug the shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Free hugs all round.
Free hugs.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Brilliant.
Again.
Oh, that's good,
amazing, bro. Amazing.